We are starting a new series this week, a five-week series called Restore, a four-week series called Restore. And if you guys have noticed, things look a little different. For those of you here for the first time, you have no idea what's going on, but we normally don't have the chairs like this. We normally don't have kids with us the whole time. Hi, kids.
Hi.
That was weak. Hi, kids.
Hi.
There we go. Yeah, but today we're going to start off with Family Sunday. And so that's what we're going to do today. So why don't I go ahead and pray for us. Let's pray. Lord, thank you that this season lets us celebrate Christmas and your coming. And Lord, as we prepare for today, we just ask that our hearts would be soft, our expectations would be high, and that we would get something from your word and be able to apply it and be transformed by you. God, we thank you for families, and we thank you for the kids who are with us today. And we just pray that this would be a great family experience of growing in you and deeper relationships with each other. And we pray this in your name. Amen. Amen. I want to talk a little about why we're doing this series. I don't know if you guys know about the church calendar, but today marks the beginning of what the church historically calls Advent. Advent is the four Sundays that lead up to Christmas, and today is the first Sunday of Advent. And I thought it would just be a great time to start preparing ourselves for Christmas. I know it seems far away, but there's things we can do this month that will help us really enjoy and understand what the Christmas season is about. And so we're going to talk about the series called Restored. And kids, we have some activities for you along the way, so get ready and we'll tell you what you're going to be up to. One of the big questions we often ask about life, one of the questions I think most people have, is who really cares about me? Wouldn't you agree? A lot of us deep down, especially in our worst moments, wonder, who really cares about me? Am I alone? Does God care about me? Mother Teresa, as you guys know, Mother Teresa served in India among the poorest of the poor. She was asked, what's the greatest disease? What's the worst disease that you have ever seen in your life? And mind you, she's seen all kinds of things. And she says, the worst thing I've ever seen is the feeling of being unwanted. That is the worst disease I've ever seen. Because all of us, deep down, want to know that we're wanted. And God wants to answer that question for you. God wants you to know that He cares about you. And that's why we're doing this series called Restored. All of us are longing to be restored. The other reason I want to do this series is, sometimes we do topical sermon series, sometimes we go through a book of the Bible, but also what's really important is just to understand theological things, like the whole thing of what does Christ's coming, Jesus' coming, really mean in our lives. So we want to spend some time working on that as well. The word restored means something needs fixing. Something needs fixing. And so that's what we're going to be working on, or talking about today. Now, before we I realize that if we jump right into the whole idea of what it means to be restored, we might miss out on some of the story. How many of you guys have seen the movie, or seen a movie at the drive-in theater at the Solano drive-in on Highway 4, off of Highway 4? How many of you try to take a sneak peek of the movie as you're driving on Highway 4? Yeah, okay. That's why there are accidents in this world, yes. Well, I try to do that too. I actually try to do that too. And I don't know if you've had that experience of driving, looking at the theater, and you notice that something really amazing is happening on the screen. You could tell there's action-adventure, but you have no idea what's going on. Have you had that experience before? And sometimes we approach the story of Jesus like that. We start with the end, and we don't know what's going on. And so what I want to do is begin with the beginning of the story so that by the time we get to Christmas, we understand what the significance of Jesus' coming is. We want to start at the beginning of the story and not the end. So we're going to do it in three parts. The first part is this, and Deborah, you can put this on the screen, that in the beginning, God made it. God made everything. And to start us off, I want to ask Elvina to come up and read our scripture. It's going to be from Genesis 1, 26 through 31. Let's welcome up Elvina.
Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 to 31. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, in our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air, over the livestock, over all the earth, and over all the creatures that move along the ground." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them and said to them, "Be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air, and over every living creature that moves on the ground." Then God said, "I give you every seed-bearing plant on the face of the whole earth, and every tree that has fruit with seed in it. They will be yours for food. And to all the beasts of the earth, and all the birds of the air, and all the creatures that move along the ground, everything that has breath has the breath of life in it. I give every green plant for food, and it was so. God saw all that he had made, and it was very good.
When Becky and I were first married, we moved into a small two-bedroom apartment in Berkeley, and it was a very small kitchen, but we received lots of wedding gifts, especially pots and pans, tons of pots and pans, which was great. We loved to cook. But our kitchen couldn't hold any of it, and most of you know that pots and pans are one of the hardest things to store in a kitchen. So I'm not that much of a handyman, but I took a risk, and I bought this big old pegboard from Home Depot. I put it on our wall. I put hooks in, and we were able to put all of our pots and pans on the wall, hanging to save space. And it's just a little dorky, but I was so proud of that that every time I walked by the kitchen, I would just stop and stare at it for a couple minutes. Because I made something. I just felt so good about it. Have you guys had that experience where you just make something, you just kind of just want to stare at it over and over again because you made it? In fact, I would love to hear some stories. Do you have stories of something you made that you were just really proud of, that you did something like that with? Just shout it out. Yeah, Cheryl. Yep. Yeah. Oh, great. Yeah, so you made this quilt, and it's just something you're just so proud of. Great. How about a couple other things you guys have made that you're just so proud of?
A cat tree.
Say that again. What? A cat tree? What's a cat tree? I don't even know what that is. Oh, the cat tree. Well, cats, you made one? Wow. How'd you make it? Tell us more about how you made it. Great. Way to go. And now, do you stop now and then just stare at it? Good, because that makes me feel a little worse. Yeah, Jasmine. Really loud so people can hear. Okay, so you moved to a new house. You guys are going to get a bunk bed? Great. Did you make one yet? Is your dad going to make one for you? All right. I won't ask how that connects, but thank you for the story, though. Appreciate it, sweetheart. That's great. Well, we all love to make things. And now, the thing is, God made you and me. And that same pride that we feel when we make something out of our own hands and just love to stare at it, can you imagine how God feels when he made you? How does God feel when he makes you? He looks at you with such pride and such joy because you are his creation. God made everything. He made the universe and he made you and me. And I just want to say that same kind of pride that we feel when we create something, I want you guys to know that God feels that about you. That no matter who you are, what you've done, where you come from, mistakes you've made, names you've been called, that doesn't matter. God made you, and he looks on you with pride and with joy. And so what we're going to do right now is we're going to sing a song called God of Wonders that's all about God's creation of us. So as we sing this song, let's just celebrate that God made everything and God made you. Should we do that? Great. Good.
You're free to stand if you'd like to, or you can stay sitting. If you need to kneel, you can do that too.
Lord of all creation, to the Lord on high, God of
Go ahead and have a seat. So God made us. God made you. But God made it. God made everything. But the next thing is that we broke it. We broke it. God made something, but we broke it. When I was a little kid, actually, it was around this time, but many, many years ago, I had begged and pleaded with my parents that they would buy me walkie-talkies for Christmas. And that was my thing. And so about this time, many, many years ago, I snuck into my parents' room because I knew where they hid the presents that weren't wrapped yet. And I looked under their bed, and sure enough, they had bought me the walkie-talkies I wanted. Now, they were nowhere in sight, so I went ahead and opened up the box, took it out, put in the batteries, and started playing with them. And as I was playing, back then you had those kind of long wire antennas. You guys remember those in the walkie-talkies? Well, I pulled one out, and I was having a great time. But in the midst of pulling out the second one, I broke the wire antenna in half. Totally broken. And I was devastated. One is the toy I really wanted all these years was now broken, and I broke it. Two is there was no way of hiding this crime from my parents. They were going to find out. And so I came out of my room just crying, because I'd broken this present, and my parents didn't have much compassion on me. They're actually very upset. But I don't know if you guys have had that experience of really liking something, really wanting something, really appreciating something, and then breaking it. Have you guys had that experience before? Can you think of something you've had or cherished that you actually broke? Anyone have a story of something they might want to share, something that mattered a lot to them that they broke accidentally? Yeah, Taylor. You were reading a book, and you broke it? Yeah. How'd that make you feel when you did that? Yeah, sad. Right. Good. Thanks, Taylor. Other things that we've made. Yeah, Scott.
I had a really nice guitar that I had bought.
Oh, yeah.
Left it out in my room, and the light off,
stepped right through it. Painful. And Scott, how'd you feel after that?
Bad.
Yeah.
My dad said,
great. One more story is someone breaking something they really loved. I know you guys did this. One more story. Yeah. How'd you break it? Yeah. Oh, yeah, another broken guitar. Well, you guys have had that feeling before where something you really cherish gets broken and it's your fault. You know what I'm talking about? Well, the Bible talks about that same dynamic happening. That God created us, God created you and me, created the universe, but that we broke it. That when you and I decided that we trusted ourselves more than we trusted God, something broke. Something very cherished by God broke. Our relationship with God broke. The universe as it was meant to be broke. And I don't know if you can imagine being the creator of the universe and seeing people break something precious to you. But that's what happened. And many of you come in this morning feeling pretty broken today. I don't know what's been going on for you this past week. I don't know what's been going on for you this past month. But I know life enough to know that you're probably feeling really broken. Relationships are hard. Money's not coming in. Mistakes have been made. And you wonder, who really cares about me? Okay, kids. Inside your white bag, you should have three pieces of colored paper. Can you find that? Okay, pull those out. You guys see those three pieces of colored paper? Oh, four pieces. Wow, we're being generous today. Four pieces of colored paper. All right. Go ahead and pull those out. Now, to you guys, this may just look like colored paper. It's real simple. You can buy it at the store. But do you know how much work went into making this paper? Do you guys even know? Well, I went online this week and found out, and Deborah has a picture for us right here. This is a multi-stage process to get that paper in your hands. You know that? It starts way at the top, number one, with a forest. And then someone had to chop down trees. And then someone had to grind the wood. And someone had to process the fiber. And someone had to dry it out. Someone had to roll it out. Someone had to get it to the store. So finally, you bought it. So you guys were holding very precious paper in your hands. Take a look at it. Show everyone your paper. Just throw it up. Just show it. Okay, you guys got all your paper. Very important paper. Now, this is what I want you guys to do. Pull out. You should have a paper cup as well. Pull out your paper cup. You won't need the ornament yet. You can put the ornament back in the bag, but don't break it because it's precious. And once you have your cup out, what I want you guys to do is tear up your piece of paper that people spent a long time on, tear it up into little pieces, and put all the little pieces in your cup, okay? So go for it. Start tearing up. Tear it all up. You are breaking something very precious. All of it. There should be all little tiny pieces in your cup by the end of this. Now keep going. Now if by chance you get done early with that, because I'm going to keep talking, you should have an envelope in your bag too. If you're done with that and you need some stuff to do, go ahead and pull out that envelope and there's some extra activities for you. But what the kids are doing is they're tearing up something symbolically that's very precious to symbolize what happened when we broke what God created. God made it and we broke it. That's the first part of the story leading up to Christmas. Now part two is called this. It's called hope. Part two is hope. So this is what I want you guys to do. Look around and find maybe three other people around you and turn your chairs so you're making groups of about three or four. Okay, can you guys do that for me? Go ahead. The kids don't need to be included in this because they have their own projects. So adults, go ahead and turn around, find three or four people. All right, so go ahead and introduce yourself. Introduce yourselves. Okay. In your small groups, we want at least two people to share the answer to this question, okay? So here's the question to talk about in your small groups. Think of a recent situation where you felt hope in the midst of a very difficult situation. Think of a situation where you felt hope in the midst of a difficult situation and share about that story and what caused you to have hope, okay? So a situation where you had hope, a very difficult situation where you had hope, and what caused you to have hope in that situation? So think a moment and have at least a couple people in your group share a story about that, all right? So take a moment to think about it. All right. So you don't have to tell the whole story, but as you guys heard stories, are there any common themes? Or what struck you about the stories you heard? What brought hope for people? God. Faith. Great. Other things that brought hope? Pagan? That brought hope. Some type of situation. Great, yeah. Family brought hope. Yeah, other relatives, people. Yeah, sure. Friends, yeah. Family, right. Someone said health. Yeah. Health brings hope. Yeah, yeah, great. Okay, yeah, it produces the potential for change. Great. Well, I want you to understand that in the Bible, people like us felt this discrepancy of what God meant for us to be like with Him and what happened that's broken. And most of us need hope. Most of us feel broken a lot of the time, and we need hope. Now, what God did is He brought people called prophets to come and share hope of the future. He brought people to come in and share, this is what I'm going to do to redeem your situation. I'm going to ask Jared to come up and read a scripture for us. Jared, you can come on up. This is going to be a long passage from Isaiah chapter 53. But as you listen, yeah, you can turn your chairs around. But as you listen to it, this is what I want you guys to listen for. What brings you hope out of what Jared's going to read? What brings you hope? These are God's words to you. So go ahead and enjoy the word.
Has anyone believed us or seen the mighty power of the Lord in action? Like a young plant or root that sprouts in dry ground, the servant grew up obeying the Lord. He wasn't some handsome king. Nothing about the way he looked made him attractive to us. He was hated and rejected. His life was filled with sorrow and terrible suffering. No one wanted to look at him. We despised him and said, he is a nobody. He suffered and endured great pain for us, but we thought this suffering was punishment from God. He was wounded and crushed because of our sins. By taking our punishment, he made us completely well. All of us were like sheep that had wandered off. We had each gone our own way, but the Lord gave him the punishment we deserved. He was painfully abused, but he did not complain. He was silent like a lamb being led to the butcher, as quiet as a sheep having its wool cut off. He was condemned to death without a fair trial. Who could have imagined what would happen to him? His life was taken away because of the sinful things my people had done. He wasn't dishonest or violent, but he was buried in a tomb of cruel and rich people. The Lord decided his servant would suffer as a sacrifice to take away the sin and guilt of others. Now the servant, we live to see his own descendants. He did everything the Lord had planned. By suffering, the servant will learn the true meaning of obeying the Lord. Although he is innocent, he will take the punishment for the sins of others so that many of them will no longer be guilty. The Lord will reward him with honor and power for sacrificing his life. Others thought he was a sinner, but he suffered for our sins and asked God to forgive us.
So Jesus had not yet come. This was a prophecy in Isaiah about the coming of Jesus. What brings hope in this passage for people? What do you guys think? What brings hope? He's going to come. Yeah, God's going to come. Yeah. We broke something that God made, and yet he still comes to us to repair it. Yeah. When Isaiah said this, he brought lots of hope to people because the story was not yet over. And many of us come feeling really broken today, thinking the story might be over. But I want you to know that there's hope, that God promises hope. And part of Jesus' coming is that hope for us. And we're going to get more into that in a moment. But what we want to do right now is sing a song called O Come, O Come, Emmanuel, which is a song of hope. It's God, we want you to come. We need you to fix this mess that we're in. So come on, why don't you stand up and we can go ahead and sing this song.
To thee, O Israel.
and cease. And be thyself a king of peace. Rejoice. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel shall come to thee, O Israel.
You may have a seat. As you're being seated, you'll want to pull out a blank white piece of paper that was on your chair. And you'll want to grab a pencil or a pen along with that piece of white paper. And we're going to do kind of what we call an interactive or a guided prayer this morning. John's been talking about hope, and we've all been able to speak of hope in our own lives. But we don't just pray for ourselves. It would be nice to say, oh, I just pray for myself, but that's not the way God designed us. It's not what God had in mind when he pulled the church together. So we're going to do a guided prayer in which we're praying for other people. So on your piece of paper with your pen, okay, I'm going to have you just do an outline of your own hand. Just draw a quick outline of your hand. Were there extra pieces of paper anywhere? Okay. Check on a seat near you if you don't have one.
If you don't have a half white sheet, go ahead and just look around and pull one off a chair near you.
What we'll do is there are people who have written prayers for centuries, and we're going to borrow one of those this morning. And as I read through it, as we pray with it, I want to invite you to be aware of what people come into your mind, what names, what situations, because as we pray, those people, I believe, will be prompted for you by the Holy Spirit. When you get somebody's name in your head, write it down on your hand. And the symbol here is that you, with your own prayers, are praying for other people. Does that make sense? Yes? Okay. Everybody ready? Okay, let's pray. Jesus, who is the hope of the world, who came to restore broken people, to fix broken lives. We pray for people for whom hope is difficult to find. We pray for those lacking food, shelter, or clothing. For the sick and all who are wasting away by disease. For the blind, the deaf, and the lame. We pray for prisoners, for those oppressed by injustice, for those who have lost their way in society. We pray for the corrupted and the fallen, for the lonely and depressed, for the worried and anxious. We pray for all who are living faithfully in obscurity, for those fighting bravely in unpopular wars or causes, for all who are serving diligently and dependently. We pray for those who stand in the valley of indecision, for those who are suffering the consequences of misdeeds repented of. We pray for all family circles broken by death, and for those faced by tasks too great for their own powers. Lord Jesus, who is the light of the world, would you be hope for all of these? In your name and for your sake we pray. Amen.
We all need hope. We all need hope. And for most of the biblical period in the Bible, people were waiting for hope from God in the form of Jesus. And finally, the story ends with Christmas, that Jesus is born. Jesus is born. And kids, what you can do right now, some of you already started, is take all those broken, ripped up pieces you made and put them inside that glass ornament you had. Because what you're going to be doing is you're going to make something beautiful out of something that's broken and ripped up. And that's the exact same thing that God did through Jesus. He took our broken mess and he made something good out of it. I read a story recently that describes that I'd like to read for you. And it goes like this. There was one, this is a true story. This man told a story of his boyhood. And he used to spend hours in his backyard practicing his golf swing. But because he was in the backyard, he wasn't allowed to use a real golf ball because it would break something if he did. So he would practice with these fake balls that had little holes in them that were all plastically. And also, if he lost them, it was no big deal. And so that's how he used to practice. Now, the problem is you couldn't hit that kind of ball very far. And it wasn't very satisfying for him as a little boy. So one day, he thought his parents were gone out of the house. So he grabbed a real golf ball. And in the backyard, he decided that he really wanted he longed for the feel of a real golf ball at the end of his real swing. So sure enough, he sliced the ball with the strongest stroke he could think of, and the ball swung really, the ball went out really far. But it was as if the house had a magnet on it, because the ball started to curve closer and closer to the house and went right through the upstairs bedroom window with a big crash. But then something happened. He said, I heard the glass shatter, and I heard my mother scream. I ran to the house and up the stairs into her bedroom. And she was standing there in front of the broken window, and she was bleeding. I started to cry, and I couldn't stop. All I could say was, Mom, what have I done? I could have killed you. I don't know how often I said it. And she kept just hugging me and saying, it's all right. I'm all right. Everything's going to be all right. She held her blood-stained hands towards me and said, it's all right. It's all right. Everything is going to be all right. I think that's a wonderful picture of what Jesus does through us in Christmas. So we're going to talk more about this as we get closer. But we've broken things. We've made a big mess out of it. And Jesus looks at us with blood-stained hands and says, it's all right. It's all right. It's going to be all right. Amen. I asked Mickey to come up. Where are you, Mickey? And she's going to read one of the Christmas story passages for us. So come on up. Let's give her a round of applause.
This is how Jesus Christ was born. A younger Roman woman named Mary was engaged to Joseph from King David's family. But before they were married, she learned that she was going to have a baby by God's Holy Spirit. Joseph was a good man and did not want to embarrass Mary in front of everyone. So he decided to quietly call off the wedding. While Joseph was thinking about this, an angel from the Lord came to him in a dream. The angel said, "Joseph, the baby that Mary will have is from the Holy Spirit. Go ahead and marry her. Then after the baby is born, name him Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." So the Lord's promise came true. Just as the prophet had said, a virgin will have a baby boy, and he will be called Emmanuel, which means God is with us.
Good job. Good job. You're great. Jesus is born, and he is the hope for us being restored. How does this work? The whole idea of being restored to God is a really hard thing to understand, and so that's what we're going to do these next few weeks, is talk about that. You know, the way most people learn things is through what they already know. So if you want to teach someone, how to draw, you first talk to them about writing with a pencil, and then you build from there. Whatever you want to teach people, you start with what they already know. Well, when God wanted to teach his people about what Jesus did through by restoring ourselves to him, he used three images, and we're going to focus on these three images. Next week, we're going to focus on this first image. It's a goat. Because God used the image of a goat to describe what it means to be restored to him. I won't tell you how. That's for next week. But a goat is week number one. Week number two, handcuffs or chains. God used the whole idea of being chained as an image of what he did to restore us to himself. And the third week is a picture of someone being found. It's a lover finding his lost lover. And we're going to talk about that the third week, the week right before Christmas. And so we're going to focus on these three pictures, one each week, and talk about how did God use that image to describe to us what it means to be restored to him. So we're going to end with a song called "This Is Our God" as a way to celebrate what God is doing for us. So let's welcome Amy up to do that.
God made it, we broke it, and then God made the promise that he would restore it. When Jesus was born, all of that came together, or began to come together. This is going to be our theme song for the next few weeks. To sing the truth of who Jesus Christ is.
Refuge from the poor, a shelter from the storm, this is our God. He will wipe away your tears, turn your wasted years. This is our God. So call upon his name. He is mighty to save. This is our God. Father, to the orphan, a healer to the broken, this is our God. He brings peace to our madness, and comfort to our sadness, this is our God. So call upon his name, cause he is mighty to save. This is our God. This is the one we have waited for. This is the one we have waited for. This is the one we have waited for. Jesus. Lord and Savior, this is our God. A fountain for the thirsty, a lover for the lonely, this is our God. Glory to the humble, and crowns for the faithful, this is our God. So call upon his name, he is mighty to save, this is our God.
You are the one we've waited for.
You are the one we have waited for.
Great. You can have a seat one more time. Hey, kids, we want to see your ornaments. So can you go ahead and bring those up and show them off up here? There's a little platform. You guys can come up here and show them off. Come on up. Yeah, come on up. Oh, well, they're ornaments.
Oh.
Sorry. Yeah, cool. Hold them up high. Show them up high for everybody. So this is a picture our kids made of something being broken that was originally good being restored into something beautiful. Wouldn't you agree? Let's give these kids a round of applause. Great. Thank you, kids. Well, this is for your Christmas trees, okay? So you can bring them back home for your Christmas trees. Thanks, you guys. Great. Hey, why don't we just end? Go ahead and pull out your connection cards one more time and look on the back. You'll see a couple options for your next steps today, following today's message. You know, sometimes Christmas can just go by so quickly and we forget all about what it's all about. And so maybe perhaps your next step today is say, God, ask God for help to make this Christmas season meaningful. Others of you feel a real need to be restored with God. And so you want to ask God to show me the ways I need to be restored with him. You can just check one of those two options. That's something that you want God to show you. Also on the right side, there's other things you can ask for, and we'll send you information about as well. If you want prayer this week, go ahead and put a prayer request down, and we'll go ahead and pray for you this week as well. And if you're a first-time guest with us today, we are so glad you joined us. We have a gift for you. This was a very unique Sunday. We don't usually do this way, but we do have a gift. On the back table, there's an Edgewater mug with some information about Edgewater, some trinkets as well. Go ahead and just pick one up on the way out. That's just our gift to you. All we ask is that you fill out your connection card, mark down that you're a first-time guest, and put in the offering basket as it goes by. Also, I'd like to invite you to our newcomer's lunch next Sunday. In a moment, we're going to receive the offering. So please take this time to go ahead and finish up the connection cards with any information you want to write down. And as the offering comes around, you can just drop the card in the offering basket. And I think we're going to do Go Tell on the Mountain for offering. Great. Okay, so if I can have the ushers come forward, we'll go ahead and end with our last song.
Tell it on the mountain, over the hills and shout it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. The shepherds keep their watching, on silent flocks by night. Behold, throughout the heavens, there shone a holy light. Go tell it on the mountain, over the hill and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. The shepherds feel and tremble when all above the earth rang out the angels' chorus that hailed our Savior's birth. Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. Down in a lonely manger, the humble Christ was born, and God brought us salvation that blessed us Christmas morn. Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain, Jesus Christ is born. Oh my goodness. Amen.
All right. Thanks, you guys. Good job, kids. All right. So we'll continue the series next week. There's a couple of business cards on your seats. If you know of someone that you think could really use a sermon series about being restored to God, will you go ahead and invite them to this next series? I think it's going to be really good. We're going to hit some really good topics about having a right relationship with God. Well, it's been a good, fun day. Thanks for coming. Would you go ahead and just say hi to three people around you before you leave, and know that there's snacks out here as well. And why don't we just greet each other with God? So let me just bless you guys. Go in God's name. Know that you are restored with Him, and we have hope in Christmas. All right, God bless. Take care, you guys.